Father, we love you, Lord. And Father, we come to you because your Son said that we worship you in spirit and in truth, and you are spirit, and you are the truth. And so, Father, we come this morning going to the words of your prophet and taking them back to the Bible, knowing, Father, that we have an assurance in our hearts that you said, he that heareth and believeth on me, and believeth on the one that sent me, hath everlasting life. Echoes everlasting life. And your prophet taught us, Lord, that to hear means to understand. Because how could we truly echo if we don't understand? And so, Father, we commit our study this morning. We commit it back to thee. We pray, Lord, that you are the one who waters. You are the one who gives increase. And so, Lord, we're just laying the seed this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And we're asking you, Father, to bless that which you're about to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I would like to call our message, it's from the unveiling of God. This will be number 48 in our series. And we're still talking about the character of Christ. And we're also looking at Ephesians parallels Joshua. This will be number 2. And this morning I'm going to talk about the fivefold ministry, which is and the pattern of that fivefold ministry for all the ages. Now, the last time we spoke, we saw how Brother Branham tied the book of Joshua with the book of Ephesians, and he said that Ephesians parallels Joshua. And we showed you how that Joshua was a minister of Moses, so he was a fivefold minister, as we would call today a fivefold minister. And it was through that ministry that the elect of that hour entered into the promised land, following the same pillar of fire that Moses followed. Now, in his sermon, God Who is Rich in Mercy, Brother Branham said, now, if many of you like to just mark down scriptures that a minister reads, excuse me, and I would like for you tonight, if you would, to turn to Ephesians. And I was speaking last Sunday on the Ephesians, how that the book of Joshua was the Ephesians of the Old Testament, and how it was a book of redemption, and redemption has two different parts to come out and to enter into. First, you have to come out. Some people want to bring the world in with them, but you got to come out of the world to enter into Christ. You have to come out of unbelief to enter into faith. There cannot be one thing in your way. To really have genuine faith, you must absolutely leave everything that's contrary to the Word of God behind to enter into faith. And that was the book of Ephesians of the Old Testament, Joshua, where Moses represented the law, could not save one, but grace could. And here, Joshua is the same word like Jesus, Jehovah's Savior. And now then, we find out that we have to come to another Ephesians, another Ephesus now. Where that in our intellectual denominations and so forth, and all of our denominational programs, has come to us, Jordan, then we must have an Ephesians again. We must have an Exodus to come out and to go into for the rapture. Therefore, this morning, I'd like to look at this thought just a little deeper than what we did the last sermon I preached before Brother Webster preached, Brother Webster from Malawi. Therefore, we see that if Joshua parallels Ephesians, then let's look at the book of Ephesians, and specifically Ephesians 1, where Paul speaks to us about receiving the Holy Spirit and getting ready for the adoption and the inheritance of the saints. The whole thing is about adoption, Ephesians chapter 1. And then we see in chapter 2 that Paul speaks of our being quickened by Christ, and the contrast then that our life takes on from what we were to what we are when we are sons. Then in chapter 3, Paul tells us of his own experience, how God took him and changed him by the revelation, and he became a minister of the gospel, that we might come to the same dose of God that God had shown him. Then as we move into chapter 4, we hear the Apostle Paul tell us that God has set in the church 5 gifts to fully equip the church and bring it into full maturity, where we might grow up into the image of Christ himself, filled with the fullness of his character. And we're still talking about the character of Christ here. But the character of Christ is actually, there's a gift that God placed in the church that helps to mold that. And that is the fivefold ministry. And like Brother Branham said, and I could give you probably 100 quotes, where Brother Branham says, you know, we don't need these seminary-educated men in the pulpits. We need someone who basically takes the hide off your back. And that's what child training is all about. And, you know, I don't think any minister means to be mean or mean-spirited or sound mean, but the fact is that, you know, God places His Word in our heart, and we hold His Word more dear than we hold our friendships. And I hope you would do the same. All right. Therefore, we see in chapter 4, verse 11, because that fivefold ministry, Paul says, God sets in the church to fully equip the church and bring it to full maturity, where we might grow up into the very nature, the very character of Christ. Chapter 4, verse 11, and He, speaking of God, gave some, now not one person, all right, gave some. Now how many some? I don't know. Could be three, four, five. Could be, you know, some. It's not one though. I know one thing for sure, some is not one. If I say I have some money in my pocket, you would expect me just to pull out one coin. I have some. Several. Alright? And He gave some to be apostles. Apostles is not just one. There's an S there. That means there's more than one. And some, again, more than one, to be prophets. Plural. More than one. And some to be evangelists. S on the end. More than one. Some to be pastors. More than one. Some to be teachers. More than one. You see, this is the problem we have in this message. Everybody wants to confine it to one man. Okay, we need to confine it to William Branham. Oh, there we go. Then you got a teacher. Well, there's only one teacher. Listen, the teacher is the Holy Ghost. And as long as the Holy Ghost is in the church, there's going to be teachers, plural. As long as the Holy Ghost is here, there's going to be apostles, plural. As long as the Holy Ghost is here, there's going to be pastors, plural. Evangelists, plural. Prophets, plural. Right. Now, I'm not talking about a messenger. It didn't say messenger. It says prophets. Fivefold prophets. Okay.
Notice that the Apostle Paul uses the word some in referring to the fivefold ministry, and we know that the word some means more than one. But there is a heresy that is sweeping this message whereby some groups, plural, are now calling those who are identified with Paul's Ephesians 4 description as apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. And these groups are persecuting the true fivefold ministry and calling them Dathan and Korah for standing true to their God-given calling, who continue to preach the word and do signs and wonders that God said He will do. We will do.
Some call you Dathan and Korah for preaching. You should only listen to the tapes. Some call you Dathan and Korah because you believe that the works that I do, you shall do also. You see? Now, you may say, who is doing that? Just open your ears, brothers and sisters. One group says if you believe John 14:12, you are a Dathan and Korah coming against the prophet. Because they're placing it all in the prophet. And others say, if you claim that the perfection of the saints will come through any other ministry than William Brown, you are a Dathan and a Korah. And you're coming against the prophet. Well, believe it or not, but that is the same doctrine they are teaching. They're both teaching the same doctrine. And let me tell you, as an ex-Catholic, raised up as a Catholic, and anybody that was raised in the Catholic Church and comes to this message, Brother Branham said, I would rather have a person come out of the Catholic Church in this message, or a complete heathen, than someone who went through Pentecost or went through Baptist, because they've got too much to flesh out. Anybody who was raised as a Catholic, and I know Brother Peter is watching and some others, Brother Derek, Michael, you were raised Catholic, you know that there's a popery spirit among the Catholic people. And they do it amongst their priests. They look at the priest as if he's the Pope himself. You know, he's a mediator. There is no mediator between God and man except for one, and that was Jesus Christ. Not William Branham. Yeah. Not Lee Vale.
No.
Not me, your pastor. No.
No.
Only one, and that was Jesus Christ. Yeah. Only one person with the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelled in, and that was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's only one Messiah, that is Jesus Christ. William Branham is not our Messiah. He was a messenger from God who just yielded his body. He had to die. He said, he had to die to himself. He said, my greatest enemy is William Branham.
That's right.
Now, if you said your greatest enemy was William Branham, oh, brother. But you're just quoting the prophet.
Sure.
Say what's on the tape, brother, sister.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is they want to pick here, pick there, but they don't say all.
That's right.
That he said. Now, you say, who's doing this? And I said, open your eyes. We've had people condemn us for believing John 14:12 is for everyone.
We've had people condemn us for taking Brother Branham's and taking it to the Scripture, and they say, we don't need somebody to do that. We can listen to it for ourselves. Then why are you preaching false doctrine?
That's right.
If you can get it for yourself. Why did God say that He would put fivefold ministry, five offices in the church for the perfecting of the saints? Why did He say it? He didn't say, I will put one man with five gifts. He said, I'll put five different offices, different individuals, some, speaking of people, men, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, some, plural. The problem, as I see it, is that the ministry, listen, 90%, we read last time I spoke, 90% of those ministers that followed Moses died in the wilderness. And Jesus said they're everyone dead. And that means, he said, Brother Brown told us, that means they are eternally separated from God. 90% of the ministry. So, but there was 10% that were true. 10% that were true. Alright? But the problem I see is that men do not study the message and take it back to the Scriptures. They say that they're quoting Brother Branham when you say when they say that you do not have to understand it. They say you just have to believe it. But remember, we are commanded to say all that is on the tapes. And Brother Branham said in his sermon, seed shall not be air with the shuck. Now, you'll take St. John 5:24 and listen to this. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. And that word has is actually translated from the Greek word echo. Echoes eternal life. How can you echo eternal life if you don't have it? Now, how would that be so much so different from many of our theologies? Now, I could walk over here and say to the drunkard, do you believe? Sure. And a man with another man's wife. And we got him in this message. Do you believe? Sure. And remember, they said, well, all you got to do is believe the message of the hour and you got the Holy Ghost. He didn't say that. He said you got to know and understand what the message is.
Amen.
Listen. Did you sit in the meeting last night to hear the word? Sure. You believe it? Sure. He's just saying that. But the original interpretation of this word, he that understandeth my word and believe on him that sent me, he that understands. That is to who it's made known to. And remember, you can't understand, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, without the Holy Ghost. What man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him?
Yes.
So it really boils down to, have you got the Holy Ghost or not?
Right.
And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're going to be confused and you're going to go back and forth, and just wander. You've got the Holy Ghost. You're anchored. Because you can hear what the prophet says and you know where he's talking to from Scripture.
That's right.
Too many people in this message spend more time on Facebook than they do studying this message. When this message is your ticket out of here, brother, sister, get the Holy Ghost and you'll understand. Too many people are studying this guy, this ministry over here, and this one over here, and this one over here, instead of going back and listening to the tapes. And then taking it to the Scripture. Not just stopping there, listening to the tapes, but taking it back to the Scripture. Why did Brother Branham say this? Let me find out. Do your search. You've all got search engines. You can search your Bibles. You can search the message. You can search, and you can find out. Are you spending... I'm talking to you sisters, too. It's time that we get off of this chick flicks and all this other stuff that we do. And it's time that we really focus in on going home.
Amen.
The only thing holding up our going home is you. Is the bride. She's not ready. When she's ready, she'll go. And you know what? One of these days, if she's not ready, she's not going. You say, well, you know, if I'm predestinated to it, how do you know you're predestinated to it? Your life ought to. Brother Branham said the interpretation is a manifestation. Is your life manifesting your bride? Come on.
Right.
Well, I go to a message church. Praise God. And so do 2 million other people. So do 2 million people follow the pillar of fire through the wilderness. Well, I believe God's prophet. That just means you can read. He said so himself. Oh, boy. What other excuse can I come up with? Let me read this again. The original interpretation of this word, he that understandeth my word and will believe on him that sent me, he that understands. He says it twice for the emphasis. That is who it's made known to. And remember, John said, I don't write to you because you don't understand. I write to you because you've got an anointing that you might understand all things. That is who it's made known to. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father has drawn him. And all that the Father hath given me, they will come. My sheep, my doves, hear, understand my voice. A stranger they will not follow. And what is the voice of God? Is the word of God. It's not the voice of a man. It's not the voice of a man. It's the voice of God through the man. It's the word of God through the man. People say, well, there's only one voice of God in this hour, and that's, you know, William Branham. I disagree with you. There's only one voice, and that's God's voice. And it comes, it could come right through your four-year-old child, like it did through Samuel when he was just a little three, four-year-old boy. If they're quoting God's word, it's God's voice. It's his word. What is the voice of God? Is the word of God.
Yes.
So I put it in yellow and highlighted and everything else. It, you know. What's any man's voice but his word? Mm-hmm. It's the word of God. They'll hear the word of God. Oh. I mean, I can actually hear it from a preacher and not have to hear it directly from Brother Brown? Absolutely. If it's the word of God. It's the word of God. Now, let's say all that is on the tapes. You cannot believe it if you do not understand what it is you are believing. You can say, Brother Branham, I believe everything that you say, and that is fine, but Brother Branham himself said, that just means you can read. Don't mean nothing else. Now, these things being taught are actually heresy. And many are falling into heresy in this hour by placing all the works of the Holy Ghost through a fivefold ministry into one man. Even to the place where some would say that no man is called to do the works of Christ except that one man, and no one is called to preach the word except that one man. So some teach, you know, the ministry of the fivefold has got one duty, and that's to push a tape, push a button. Listen, I can teach a monkey to push the button. That don't mean he's called from God. I can teach a parrot to push the button. That don't mean he's from God. He's anointed of God. And how can a man preach except he be sent? Huh? Isn't that what Paul said in Romans 10?
Mm-hmm.
He said the whole basis of salvation rests on this one point, that God sends out someone. God sends him.
That's right.
Because if God doesn't send them, then what he's preaching is in error. And then those that are listening to the error are hearing error. And then those that are calling on the name of that God are calling out to a false God. That's why we believe in vindication. And that's why we teach the same thing that Paul taught and William Branham taught, and we line them together, and now you're on target. Both those groups are persecuting the true fivefold ministry who have been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God that call them to preach and evangelize and take the doctrine to the world. And those groups who hold that no one is called to do that except William Branham are calling those who preach gays in a quorum and are vilifying God's true fivefold ministry and God's plan. God told them to do it. Brother Brown said contrary to what they teach. They asked if he was the only one who should preach, and he said questions and answers. Now, Brother Branham, is it true that no one should preach but you?
what if they read that quote?
We see you ordain men. We don't believe that you would just do that if you were not, if they were not to preach.
Ah, smart.
Mercy, brother, sister. Ever who told you that nobody's to preach but me? I'm sure I should be a poor subject to God with all that. No. Every man, or that feel the call of God upon his life, get into the ministry and start preaching.
I don't show you where he said it. You tell me where he took it out.
We need them.
We need them? I thought we just need the tanks. We need them.
Men of God are anointed all over the world to preach the gospel. That's what he said. See? I'm just one little pebble on the beach among many big stones. See? So there's just many more that's eligible, more worthy, more of anything to preach than me. I'm just one little humble person laying out here. I'm one grain of wheat in the whole garner. See? So that just, you know what I mean? Any man that's called of God needs to preach the gospel.
There you go.
Question and answers. Again, 64:8-30. Do you teach that the bride will not attend any other church unless you are preaching or else otherwise the tabernacle? No, I don't teach that. I don't believe that. I do not believe it.
Then why is it being taught?
Why is it being taught you've got to go to the tabernacle in order to make it? You're the only ones. Everybody else obeys them for because they're preaching. It's not what the prophet said. We've got ministers sitting here that scattered all through the country, and I believe that they are part of that bride. I believe that a man or woman can go to church anywhere they want to go that teaches the word. And I believe if they don't teach the whole word, you can't go to church any other place where they teach the whole word. Go where they teach half the word until you can get to where they teach the whole word. Go to church, whatever you do, do that. Okay, from the Church Age book, Ephesians Church Age. His manner of ministering set the pattern, he's talking about Paul, that all future messengers were to aspire to and actually set the pattern for every true minister of God. Though he would not attain to such heights in the prophetic realm as did Paul, Paul's ministry had a threefold quality and was as follows. Every true minister of God, true minister of God. You can look at their ministry and say, you know what, that's our Paul. You got the signs and wonders following, you got preaching the word, saying true that word. You've got just a small group because the masses won't follow what they do. Look, even God anointed his personality to be of such that, you know, he just ticked off a lot of those, a lot of the apostles. They didn't want to be around. Why? Because Paul didn't deviate. They were caught up into the masses. Oh, 3,000 people. Hallelujah! Where were those 3,000 people 7 years later? Where were they? Brother Brown said, you get 3,000 Billy Graham crusade, you come back, they're not even 30 next year. From the Church Age book, chapter 4. In every age we find exactly the same pattern. Every age. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger, the light. See the light? The light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. And as Brother L said, to be faithfully taught, you've got to have two things. One who's faithful to teach and one who is faithful to just shut up and listen. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? Or you can read this way. Or came it unto you only? They add here, they take there, and soon the message is no longer pure and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has put one voice, which is the voice of God. What's that? It's the Word. Mm-hmm. What does thus saith the Lord? Thus saith who?
The Lord.
What is that? It's the Word. The words that the Lord saith. What is this book here? It's all thus saith the Lord.
What is it? The voice of God.
Hallelujah. But they add near, they take there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had been given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. Now from take on the whole armor of God, Brother Brass, to John 14:12. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What is it? It's God in the church in these five predestinated offices. Backing up every word that he said with the Holy Spirit himself in there, which is the word made manifest, proving his resurrection, proving that he lives. I don't say this to boast. I say this because God has humbled me to the place I can't say it. Show me one other ministry that's living today that has the same words following, or as much of the words following. And I don't say that to boast, brother. I have subjected myself to God. I've had yo-yo in the church 65-35, 65-35, 75-35, 13, back up again. But I stay true to the word. People don't like when you preach holiness. They don't like when you preach against adultery and when you preach against fornication and these things. They don't like it. They leave. They don't like it when you preach healing, divine healing. They leave. I got a very sad email from a wonderful, wonderful brother in Congo Republic. I won't say his name just to... But I think Brother Gad knows him. This young brother, he's about 35 years old. I've never seen anybody like him in this message. He took the message to every single church in Congo Republic, brought the doctrine to every single church that believed the message in Congo Republic. Took a lot of backstabbing. But he was willing to do it. And even those people who accepted the doctrine, when he began to pray for the sick, after his preaching of the word, he prayed for the sick. And started getting results. That's when they turned on him. Oh, he might be false. He sends me, every time there's a wonderful healing from God, he sends it to me. Lets me know, and I'm just so grateful to see that there's brothers who are doing that. And yet, he and his wife are very, very lonely at this point, very frustrated because of all the attacks on his character for doing what the prophet and what the word of God said we should do. Heal the sick, cast out devils. It's if people put that on the shelf. They put the gifts on the shelf, they put that on the shelf. Even Brother Vail told me years ago, when we first started, we had a bunch of Pentecostals in the church. They like to get together and have their little tongues and interpretations. So I said, okay, but we're going to put it in order. And so we put it in order. We had some there that were Bible-versed to see whether it be a God or not. And when we set it in order, they didn't want to do it no more. But Brother Vail said, I believe as long as the Holy Spirit is here in the earth, there should be the gifts in the church. We don't put the gifts on the shelf. They are here. They are part of the blessing of God. It's part of the ministry of the people to one another, edifying and building up of the church. We need to go back to brother and sister and just take all the word. Yes, not say, well, you know what, they interfere with my teaching, so you're not going to do it. Brother Bell didn't believe that. But they did. He told me, because I asked him, he said, as long as the Holy Ghost is here, there should be the gifts of the church. Just be a bit done in order. Just done in order. What about healing? Brother Bell told me himself, this about 2 months before he died.
said, Brother Branham, where I made my mistake is that I wanted, like Brother Branham, I wanted to preach that word and have people healed in their seats, and that's why I backed off from after the service to be over laying hands on the sick. I was hoping and praying that we would see that because it's supposed to come into the church. But he said, I regret it. What did people say? They didn't see him doing it, so we don't do it no more. He's not doing it, we're not going to do it. They didn't know his motive for not doing it. When my daughter Christina had ITP, which is it's a cousin of leukemia, 3 years old, Brother Bill came down. The two of us, we laid hands on her. She had the worst case, the doctor told us, of any that they had ever seen. This was a specialist at Children's Hospital. And they said, this is the worst case we see. And within a week, she was healed. I mean, she was back on her feet, and her blood count was up and everything else. God is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. Sure.
Many times, Brother Bell, when he was sick, he called my wife. She'd get a hold of me. He said, Brother Bell's sick. He needs you to come up and pray for him. Why did he ask me? Because I believe in prayer. Why did he ask his deacons? Why did he ask the elders in their church? He knew that I believed in prayer.
Amen.
I'm just that simple enough, brother, sister, to believe all the word.
Now, why would the Apostle Paul tell us that God has set in the church 5 gifts to perfect the saints if that perfection is to come through just one man? Why would God set in the church 5 offices? Now, notice verse 12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. Now, this perfecting is not what these men are looking for. This perfection, see, they're looking for a perfection, like, oh, sinless. It's not what this perfection is about. This perfection is not what the blood does. The blood perfects. The perfection of the blood is a cleansing and a clearing of guilt. And that is accomplished only through the blood of Jesus Christ. This perfection is for equipping. Finishing off. Questions and answers, number 3, about the scriptures of Ephesians 4:11 through 13. Do we get all the perfecting of saints through the tapes? Or should we be here where the gifts of the Spirit are operating in the different offices of the church to help perfect us? Our hearts have believed all the word of the Lord.
No.
Do we get all perfecting of the saints through the tapes?
No.
They want to come here to the church for the perfecting. See, that we get fellowship one with another here at the church, but the perfecting comes between us and God, and the blood of Christ is what perfects us
in the Holy Spirit. They're doing only the blood, brother, sister. The perfecting that comes through the fivefold ministry is a maturing. It's not perfecting. It's not a clearing and cleansing. That comes only through the blood of Jesus Christ.
But this perfecting here is from the Greek word that means to finish off or equip. And then they are also to do the work of the ministry. So whose ministry are they doing the work of? The ministry of the body of Christ. The works of Christ. And what is being done for? For the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ. And that is to go on until, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the revelation. The revelation of who? William Brown?
The revelation of Christ.
This ministry, brothers and sisters, this message is not about Brother Branham.
No, exactly.
No, not a bit. It's about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He didn't spend his whole entire life just building up what do they call, when the presidents want to leave something behind that everybody remember him by?
Legacy.
William Branham didn't do all that for a legacy. But that's what they teach, is a legacy. He did it to get the people to know, to see the manifestation of Jesus Christ in a body, that they might also, as sons, want to have Jesus Christ manifested through them. Like Paul said, I would that I see nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Now, here is where I see the problem exists with those who criticize the true fivefold ministry. They do not understand what this unity of the faith is. But we know that since there is only one faith, and that one faith is the faith or revelation of that one Lord, then the purpose of the fivefold gift is to get the church gift to the church from God is to bring us to a unity of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that can only come if the people have not only the revelation of Jesus Christ, that there is one God, He had a Son, but as God says also, and the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, what is the knowledge of the Son of God? Well, okay, it's His relationship to the Father. That He was a Son. That God indwelt Him. That the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in the Son. That the Son subjected His humanity, He subjected His body to the leading of the Holy Ghost, the leading of the Father. But many who claim to follow Brother Branham's ministry and have placed everything in that one vessel, William Branham, do not know where their Bible and do not even know if there is a Son of God. They believe in a God who is the Son, but they do not believe that there is a Son whose Father is God. They cringe when you say there's two individuals speaking up here. They cringe. They say, you're preaching two lords. You're preaching two gods. And I said, just a minute. Brother Brown himself said. Brother Brown himself said that Jesus was not God. And they said, well, he, over here he said he is God. And then he, but listen, you don't read on. Every time he said Jesus Christ was God, he says, because God was in him. God was dwelling in him. He was a dual being. You don't hear that dual being brought out in the churches. Some do, but some don't. Now, as Apostle Paul said, that is to bring the church to the place unto a perfect man, which is the word telios. And the word telios signifies a fully grown and mature son ready for adoption. Now, the word telios means full mental and moral growth completeness. And this word is only used in Scripture when it refers to those sons who have fully matured into manhood and are ready for adoption. Now, that is what the fivefold ministry is all about. Look, the Holy Spirit is a tutor, but He uses men to tutor. And the Bible tells us that God said in the church to bring on this maturity through the preaching of the Word and doing the works of Christ. Stature of perfect men, Brother Branson, for God has set in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, all for the perfecting and bringing all these virtues into it to that perfection of the coming of the Son of God. He's quoting Scripture, but he's also saying it himself. The fivefold ministry has been set in the church by God. Well, if God put them in, who's going to take them out? Now, some teach that they don't need a fivefold ministry because William Branham was all five. But Brother Brown said he was not an evangelist. So how could he be five? Well, okay, now he's four. Brother Brown said, I'm not a teacher. Okay, now he's three. Brother Brown said, he's not much of a pastor. In fact, he's not a pastor. Now he's two. Okay, let's keep going. Listen, from taking sides with Jesus, I believe that the Lord has used me in a little special things to help maybe lay a foundation for a prophet that will come. But a prophet doesn't operate the way that I operate now. You know that. A prophet isn't an evangelist. An evangelist isn't a prophet. A pastor isn't an evangelist. And an evangelist isn't a pastor. But God has set in the church first apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then pastors, and so forth. God set them in the church and God gave them an office. But the morning when I laid the cornerstone, because now, if you're spiritual, you're going to get this. Because of the pride of the people, if they could break that out or take the book and read it, he said, do the work of an evangelist. He didn't call me an evangelist. So Brother Brad is saying here, look, I'm not an evangelist. I'm just called to do the work of it. But he said, do the work of evangelists, for the time will come when they will not, who's that? The people listening to him. When they will not endure sound doctrine, for they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn from truth to fable. See, quoted this scripture and told me where to find it. And said it three times. And I got the Bible and turned to where he told me that, and there it was. Therefore, Brother Brown said he was not an evangelist, and how come some would say that he was? Just because he did the work of evangelists did not make him an evangelist. Now, he may have been very successful doing the work of an evangelist, but he said he was not an evangelist. I took meetings in Congo DRC in a soccer stadium in 2012 and preached an evangelistic style sermon. Had 400 people there. and had much success, as 130 of the 400 people came to the altar two nights in a row. 138 one night, 100, about 128 another night. Dropping to their knees, weeping before God. I thought the guy was an old man, he was about 70-some years old. I thought he was going to break his kneecaps. He came up, he was the first one to come. He came up, and I walked out, and he just dropped to his knees. I mean, not just setting down. He just, I mean, just the leg went down, boom. Weeping before God. A beautiful young sister, dressed very, very modestly. She was singing in the choir. She was so uncontrollably weeping before God. It took a while to settle her spirit. The second night, as many or more coming to receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. 138, I think it was, out of 400. There might have been 400, that was just a guessing. That was the work of an evangelist, but I am not an evangelist. But that gift is in here by the Holy Ghost. But he called me since a child to do the work of an apostle. I've known it since I was 8 years old. God showed me dreams. I was coming back from Africa. I was married. I thought, how could a priest be married? I had two children at that time. How could a priest be married? Have children. There were two little girls in the dream. I was wearing a fedora hat. A fedora, like the ones I wear overseas. I started wearing those because my wife bought me. You know, to me, the old ball cap is natural. That was a dream, 8 years old. So he called me since a child to do the work of an apostle. And yet I stand here as your pastor. And I deliver the word as a teacher. Those gifts are there, and in some there is more than one gift. But it is the same Holy Spirit who is the teacher. It is the same Holy Spirit who is the evangelist. It is the same Holy Spirit who is the apostle, who is the prophet, who is the pastor. The apostle Paul was also a pastor at Ephesus, and he was apostle. He was a prophet. He's a prophet messenger. And so was the Apostle John, an apostle. He was also pastor at Ephesus. Years ago, Brother Bell told me, because I have people say, you're not supposed to do two works, you know. Well, Brother Bell said, you can't be an evangelist, which is on the road, and a pastor. He didn't say you couldn't do the work of an apostle and be a pastor. In fact, he did the work of an evangelist, but he was an evangelist. You understand? Brother Bell said, Brian, he said, every apostle in the Bible had their own church. Peter the apostle, he pastored the church. James the apostle, he pastored a church. So you've got to have a home church to work out of. Now the apostle Paul, as I said, was a pastor at Ephesus. John, pastor at Ephesus. So gifts and callings are without repentance and are gifts of the Spirit that some may have more than one gift from expectations. And what is love, Brother Branson? Now, we know that people that don't believe in divine gifts and yet they're preachers. How do they get their inspiration then to preach from? If there's not a gift of preaching, then according to that, every person's a preacher. But the Bible said God has set some in the church. God has apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and so forth, all in the church. God has set them in there. And they're inspired for a certain work. And then some people may possess more than one gift. But they'd at least be one gift or more in a person. And then all these things together, working together for the upbuilding of the body of Christ, getting her ready. Now some say, well, you're not a teacher, Brian. I beg to differ. I mean, even by occupation, I was a teacher. Now, I don't call myself a teacher. Brother Bell told me, though, I stand here before the white throne now. I stand and I have to answer for these words of the day of judgment. He said, Brother Brian, you can teach this message better than I can. I looked at him and I said, Brother Bell, you know that all liars go like a fire. And he smiled. He said, well, what I mean is you make it so simple. He said, I wish I had that gift. Brother Bell was of a different age, raised up in the age of man before this message. The age of man was the great the Larkins and all these men that could very deeply take you into the Word of God. My ministry has been to break it down. So it's so easy for people to not get, I mean, to, you know, how can you not get it?
All right? That's just a difference.
Doesn't mean one's a teacher, one's not a teacher. Because it's not the man. The only part of the man has to do is to yield himself to the Holy Spirit, for sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, from that time, Brother Matt said, now, how many knows there's a difference between the appearing Christ and the coming Christ? There's two different words. Now is he appearing, the coming Christ will soon be. He's appearing in the midst of us, doing the works that he once did in his church. Now, you're a part of that church, and by the grace, you believe. And I'm a member of that church. Now, I'm not a preacher. You know I'm not. I have not the education to do it. Sometimes I feel reluctant standing here by men of God who's called to that office. There are apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. Not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are teachers, not all are evangelists, but I'm standing here. But my ministry is different ministry from a pastor or a teacher. See, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher. My ministry is different. I'm not what? I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher. And if I say things wrong, brother, forgive me. I don't mean that. But this is my ministry. See, to declare him. That is here. Now, why can people read that like you and I are reading that? We say, just a minute, Brother Brown, just a minute. You're saying you're not a prophet. I mean, you're not a teacher, you're not a pastor. Why do people in this hour still call Brother Brown a pastor of the Brown Tabernacle? I'm sorry, Brother Brown is in the grave. Legally, how are you going to put that down on paper legally? Except it be fraud. He was the original pastor of the tabernacle. But they have had pastors since. Now listen. My ministry, see, is to declare him. That he is here. It's not about me, but my ministry is to declare him. It's about him. About him. Have we forgotten that the bride doesn't marry bride? She marries the groom. Her focus and her whole life is given to him. Not her. Him. From have we a way to have fellowship, but my ministry is this. It's just declares that God is here. It don't matter whether I pray for you or not in this particular meeting now. It's your faith. It ain't touching me, it's touching him. See, you touch him, it'll happen. My ministry is to declare he's here. That's presence, that's parousia. His entire ministry was to present the parousia of Christ, and the people say that's false doctrine. Well, let me tell you something. A woman said to Brother Mill years ago, I don't understand, therefore I'm not responsible. I said, no, you got it backwards. You are responsible, therefore you better have understand. How can you sit in this message 30, 40, 50 years and not even understand it? Not even understand it. I'll tell you how you can. You don't got the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Well, that may be hard words. But Paul said you can't understand the things of God if you don't have the Holy Ghost. So Brother Branham tells us that he's not a pastor, he's not a teacher, but he tells us he's not an evangelist. He tells us that his ministry is different. It is to declare the presence of God to this generation. His ministry was to introduce us to the presence of parousia of Christ. That is what his ministry was all about. But some will tell you, Brother Ram, was all five offices rolled up into one. I disagree with that. Now, they're still my brothers. I don't just brother them. I don't say they're going to hell or anything like that. I just say they need an understanding. He was a messenger prophet with... Thus saith the Lord. And even though he did the work of an evangelist, in his own words, he told us he was not an evangelist. He also told us he was not a pastor or a teacher. He said, I'm not that. So, who are we going to believe? Those who would make Brother Branham the all in all in God? You all love that song? He is. Remember that one? He is the Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. He's the lily of the valley. The bright morning star. He is. Not one brand. But that's what someone tried to make. God sent a brazen serpent
for the people, if they would touch it, they would live. When he sent the plague of fiery serpents. And you know what people did? They began to worship it. What did God do? God had to destroy it. God had to destroy it.
Those who make William Branham the all in all of God, next thing you will see, they will make him the lily of the valley. I'm predicting, not prophesying. I'm predicting because of, watch the Spirit. They will make him the bright morning star. They will make him the Alpha and the Omega. They will make him the Messiah to the age. They will even teach you that John fell down to worship him. But they'll fail to tell you at once that don't you dare do it. I'm of your brethren, the prophets. And what they're doing is confusing the working of the Holy Spirit in this hour with a man who was just a yielded vessel, trying his best to die to himself, that Christ might magnify himself through his yielded body. Can we do the same? Remember, he said, Jesus, we read the quote last week, or last time we were met.
Brother Brown said, the body was not God. He said, the body. He's a God of spirit. And Jesus took his body and he yielded that body to the spirit that was living in him. And he said, and he's our example. Can we do the same?
So be very careful that you enter not into willful worshiping of angels as Peter warned us would come. Now and we'll get into that in just a minute. But from Speak to This Mountain, Paul said, now, as we go to the meeting, if you will just be reverent a little bit, I'm not much of a preacher. I can't class myself, I say, as a preacher, because I don't have the education these ministers does and so forth. My gift is seeing visions. The Bible said there's five offices in the church that is ordained of God and put in the church office holders. First is the apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. They're God's foreordination by predestination, by foreknowledge. He saw it. He placed it in the church for every age. So a true fivefold minister was predestined before the foundation of the world to be there. Mm-hmm. All right. Now we can show you where God ordained them and placed them in every age. You show me where he took them out in the last age. And if you teach contrary to what Paul told us, you will be cursed. And that is thus saith the Lord. Because God is the Word. All right. Now from God provided a way of healing. Brother Brown said, God has set in the church apostles, teachers, and prophets. Is that right? God has set in the church for the perfecting. So not the bishop has them, or the elder has them, or some else, but God has. And there, those offices have been put in the church. From hear ye him, he said, now friends, and there's five offices in the church, prophets, and evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, and missionaries, we want to call it, both the same word. God set this in the church for the perfecting of the church. From prophet like unto Moses, aren't called by the church or so forth. They are chosen by God. Apostles, second, prophets, third. And I may not have these lined up just right, but third I think is teachers and evangelists and pastors. Five spiritual offices in the church to set the church in order. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Those are God-called offices by God. Now listen, it is so easy to say, but you know what? Brother Branham had it right. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, Brother Branham couldn't look in your eyes right now. But a pastor can. It's so easy to put it off. When he's speaking against that adultery and everything else, well, that's for other people. He's not talking to me. He's talking to me. Well, if he's not talking to you, why are you even listening? You know, I used to enjoy so much that... Listen, Brother Vail, those beady little eyes would just pierce your soul. He'd look in the eye and say, is he screaming at me? Did I do something? You know, and you reflecting. Right there? She'd reflect, is he looking at me? Is he preaching again? You know, is he hitting me? And then you search your soul. Nope. No. No, it's not me. But you don't have that with a tape. You don't have that personal effect where God looks you right in the eyeball through a man. Listen to your soul, because the eyes are the gates of the soul. So he said you hear from the apostle, his ministry. You hear from the prophet, his ministry, from the evangelist, from the teacher, from the pastor. Each has a separate ministry, and their ministries is of God, and God has set them in the church for this purpose. All right? Let me just skip down a little bit. From Jesus Christ saying, he says, then besides that, he's got five ministerial offices. First is apostles, missionaries. The word apostle means one sent. Missionary means one sent. Secondarily, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and so forth. These are God-given gifts that set in the church. They're predestinated of God and set in the church. From perseverance, said, I pray that these men of God, your servants, that you've got five offices in the church. You said you have ordained the church, first apostles, then prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. God, you set them in the church. Maybe they cannot prophesy and say things. Maybe they do not have discernment, but they are men who are teachers and pastors. In other words, another gift. Or like we read the quote earlier where he says, it's not the preacher that preaches, it's God preaching through the preacher. It's not the teacher that teaches, it's God teaching through the teacher. See? From question and answers, there is the five offices elected of God for God to set in the church, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. God did that. Man has deacons and so forth and everything else. But you see, but God set in the church for the perfecting of the church. Can't divide it. And from Paul McGillian, now, there's five offices that God put in the church. There's nine spiritual gifts that accompany that offices and all the members of the body. The first is apostles, which is missionaries. The word apostle means one that's sent. The word missionary means one that's sent. And the same word, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. These offices God sets in the church. They're all in operation, or should be. We cannot bypass one and say there's teachers and without saying there's evangelists. We cannot say that there's evangelists without saying there's apostles. We cannot say there's apostles without admitting there's prophets. All of them are for the perfecting of the body of Christ. The Lord gives me visions. Those things begin when I was a little baby. I do not believe that a man can be called of man and be a successful minister. I believe gifts and callings are without repentance, that God, by his foreknowledge, ordained his ministers into the gospel and the gifts into the church. All right, now, the Apostle Paul warns us in Colossians 2 and 18, he says, let no man beguile you. You know what the word beguile means, like evil is beguiled. Let no man seduce you, beguile you of your reward. All right? That no man, using a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, beguile you of your reward. That's what he's saying. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now, the King James Version there is a little bit difficult because when you read this, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping angels. It sounds like your reward is a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. That's not what he's saying. He's saying they are using voluntary humility. Lord, bless you, my brother. So sweet, so nice. And they use that to beguile you away into... Let me just read. As I said, that word is a bit confusing because it looks like the worshiping of angels is your reward, and because it is not translated very well, but the Amplified Version really puts it well. I like this. Let no man defraud you by acting as an umpire and declaring you unworthy and disqualifying you for the prize, insisting on self-abasement and worshiping of angels. Insisting on it. Taking his stand on visions, he claims that he has seen, vainly popped up by his sensuous notions and inflated by his unspiritual thoughts and fleshly conceit. Now the Voice translation puts it this way, don't be cheated out of the prize by others who are peddling the worship of heavenly beings in false humility. People like this run about telling whoever will listen to them what they claim to have seen. In other words, I am a witness. Okay. But in reality, they testify only to an inflated mind, saturated in conceit, not in the spirit. In other words, they want you to listen to them because they ate with the prophet. They talked to the prophet. They went fishing with the prophet. They went hunting with the prophet. So you got to listen to them. That's what he's saying here. And they're telling you, look, you've got to worship the messenger, the angel. And God, this, Lord, bless you, Spirit on you. This is so soft and, Yeah. I've always said, when you find a person that comes on so self-righteous, so humble, so spiritual, give them a test. Say something truthful about the doctrine and see if that purring of the cat, stroke it this way, hits,
But you trigger this one. Give him the test. See if that is a true humility or if it's a false humility. And you'll find out real quick. They won't talk to you. They'll pull back. They'll misfellowship you.
That's a false humility and worshiping of the messenger. NIV says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. All right, now I've been in this message 44 years. I've been taught by the best teacher this generation has seen, who sat at the feet of God's messenger prophet and who worked with him, and who that prophet said that there is no man that understands me or my message like Lee Vail, and Sister Branham confirmed that to me in 1981, I think it was. And he mentored me for 33 years, and I tell you that I witnessed this worshiping of angels, the messenger, and this false humility that the Apostle Paul warned us would come. I've seen it. You're right in this message. And it has come by many who claim to be close to the messenger, or who tell us in such great but false humility that what they have seen with their own eyes, you had better hear it from them. And that is what Brother Branham, or Paul, warned us about in Colossians 2:18. Worshippers of angels, worshippers of messengers, who try to put you in or out based on their own prophetic doctrine. Which is, you got to worship the messenger or you're out. Be very careful, brothers and sisters, who you're listening to. Because you can get that spirit on you, and you won't even know when that spirit comes on you. But it will take you away from the truth of the Word of God. When you receive a spirit that's not from God, you don't hardly know it. And it's so deceiving. And the thing of it is, it leads you on and on and on until you grow so far away from the Word of God that you begin to hate everything that stands for the Word of God. Thinking that you're standing for the Word of God. Like they crucified, if they had known who they crucified, they would not crucify the Lord of glory. Those people worshiped Jehovah, and when Jehovah came to them in the body of his son, they killed him. Tried to. Now, Brother Brad said the statue of a perfect man. Let's turn to Ephesians 4 and find out over here what in the book of Ephesians it says about this thing too. About how we should do. Ephesians 4 chapter and beginning the 12th verse. And begin with the 12th verse. He said, now let's begin up here at the 11th verse. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets. Now remember last night, don't try to take any other man's office. See, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. For the perfecting of God. God does it read like that? The perfecting of what? Saints. Who are the saints? The sanctified ones. The ones who started down from here. Perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ, for the edifying, the building up, the edifying, until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into the perfect man. Unto the assurance of. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that word, the stature there is actually the character. Alright? Now. Jesus arose, Brother Matthew said, and God ascended on high, led captive to captive, gave gifts unto men, and he set some in the church, apostles, first apostles, secondary prophets, after that teachers, evangelists, pastors, is that right? God sets them in the church for the perfecting of the church, that the people might know that he is not dead, that he's alive, and lives on and will forever. And he's in his church today doing his high priest work, working through his people as they yield themselves to him for the same purpose. All right? From Revelation, Book of Symbols, your pastor, when he stands here on the platform, ministering the Word of God, he is God's angel to the church, messenger to the church. Therefore, a pastor should never leave that word, but stay right straight with the word, because he's feeding the shepherd's place. Because the word pastor means shepherd. Look it up and find if that ain't right. The pastor is a shepherd, and the Holy Ghost has made him overseer over a certain flock to feed them. With what? With the Word of God. Amen. All right, from faith and action. He said he sent his word. You believe that to be the truth, don't you? In his word, he said he set in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. You believe that, don't you? The apostle has a part to do, and the prophet has a part to do. So see, everybody has a part to do. One man didn't do them all. And Brother Brown continues. This is actually his words, but he's quoting scripture, so it's in Greek. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into the perfect man. Now, I added the word telios. But then Brother Branham, because that's what that word perfect means. Unto the assurance of, oh my, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the word kelios was used when referring to the Son who is ready for adoption unto the measure of the stature, which is the character of the fullness of Christ. So this fivefold gift that God has placed by predestination in the church is to help the church to grow up and to mature into the full character of Christ. All right. So the emphasis has to be in Christ. The pattern has to be shown as Christ if you're going to come into that image. That we henceforth be no more children, nephios, infants, little children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, not unto him, as if he's here and you're here, but into him. The body has to fit with the body has to fit with the head. We've got to grow up into him. You see? Can't be any different. So the body must grow up to fit to the head, which is Christ. All right. Now, because that's what Paul says, into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From the trials. And now, I'm going to read today from the scriptures, from Mark 16 chapter, just for a minute to draw from this context. I'm going to begin at verse 14. And after he upbraided them, unto the 11 appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the commission. Now remember, all the world, this gospel to every creature. Some say it ceased with the apostles. He said here that his last commission to the church was all the world to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe, where? All the world to every creature. Notice, there's where he gave it to the church, so show me where he took it out. He took it away. Huh? All the world, he that believeth shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, they shall speak with tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink deadly things, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick and shall recover. So after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, and they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. Amen. Now, I believe that scripture to be the truth. Then why do people teach contrary? Why do they say John 14:12 is not, you know, for everybody? Well, you know what? It is for everybody. Brother Brown said, I can show you many places where he said, he, you know, he means every man, every believer, everyone. It, five times in the same paragraph.
Yes.
How do we get around that? All right, super sad. And what about those that don't believe in preaching? To every creature, to all the world. Huh? Didn't stop with William Branham. Neither did John 14:12 stop with William Branham. Now he had it, but he didn't stop there. From super sign. What did Jesus say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How far? All the world. How many? Every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And a conjunction, these signs shall follow them that believe in all the world and every creature, every creature. I can show you where God put gifts and power into the church. I want somebody to put your finger on a scripture and show me where he took it out, where he took it back from the church. It's a super sign to the believer that we've passed from death unto life because we feel the Holy Ghost and see it working on our lives and change us from what we were to what we are now. Amen. He arose from the dead. Thanks be to God. Now, listen. They say, well, there's only one voice that was William Branham, and he's the voice of the sign. No, he's not. Brother Branham himself said that the voice of the sign was when Jesus went to the doctor. He said the sign was when he came to them, healing and all these things. He said that was a sign. But he said, what was the voice of the sign? When he began to teach his doctrine. The doctrine is the voice of the sign. Because what? The doctrine is Christ. The doctrine is the word.
That's right.
It is the voice. Okay? Now, from Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever, and now, his corporal body sits at the right hand of God. You believe that, don't you? But the Holy Spirit is here working through his sanctified vessels, plural. And God has said in the church, what? First apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then evangelists, and pastors. Is that right? For the perfecting of the church. God has did it. It's not the preacher that preaches, it's God preaching through him. It's not the prophet that sees visions, it's God speaking through him. Now, why then would people say, well, if you're still preaching, then you're a Dathan and you're Korah. You're fighting against God's prophet. Huh? Why do they say that? To draw men unto themselves. That's the only thing I can think of, brother, sister, is to draw men to their camp. And that is a camp. Just pray for me. That's all I can do. From question and answer on the seal, said, would the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? Sure. That's what's going on right now. See, the bride of Christ, certainly. It is a message of the hour. See, the bride of Christ, sure, she consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Is that right? That's the bride of Christ. Sure. She's got a ministry. Great ministry. It's the ministry of the hour. It'll be so humble. Well, yeah, because a true fivefold minister doesn't get 10,000 people or 1,000 people in his church. Because he preaches the word that'll drive them out. I'm sorry, but the word separates. In the beginning, the very first time God spoke, he said, let there be light. What happened? The light separated from darkness. Second time he spoke, he said, let the water from above separate from the water from below. Separation. Third time he spoke, he said, let us make man in our image. All right, how does that happen? Well, when the DNA cell, it has to separate in order to multiply. In fact, in division, you know, in mathematics, you check the multiplication by the division. You multiply the thing out, then you divide it back by it and make sure your answer is right. God spoke. So that three times God speaks. Division, division, division. Brother Brown said, God is not a joiner. He's a separator.
That's right.
Now, notice he said the fivefold ministry is to bring the body of Christ to maturity by bringing them to a unity concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ, where we are not only understanding fully the relationship between Father and Son, but the Father and sons as well. And he adds that this is made possible by having the knowledge of the Son of God. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, the revelation, the faith, not a faith, but the faith, and that is the faith of the one Lord, and he adds, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So this revelation will take us unto a perfect, fully matured and adopted ready man. And then Paul adds, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And now this word stature speaks of our coming to the fullness of the character of Christ. So, in closing, notice Brother Brown says in his sermon, Easter Seal. And now, if that same Spirit that was upon him to be the Redeemer in that age, that we have accepted, now the promise of it of in this last days, what would take place? If you become a part of the Word, you are redeemed with him, because the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ is dwelling in you, quickening your life to this age. And it will also, in the end time, quicken your mortal bodies, resurrect them, and bring them up again. That takes the gloom away when we look at it that way, and that's the truth. Romans here. Paul has proved it to us. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal bodies. This is the same Spirit that raised him up, that quickened the true believer to eternal life. The Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells into the believer, quickens the believer to eternal life. From the rising of the sun, he says, now you are already resurrected. When God raised him up, he raised you. The sun is just now on you, and now you're growing into a blossom life like he was. To be resurrected completely in the last days, your potentials that you have now, why do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it?
Yeah.
Is there anybody in here that can say their soul hasn't changed? I don't think there's any of us that can say our soul hasn't changed. It has changed. He says, how do you know that you're being quickened? Your soul changed, hasn't it?
That's right.
Your body come in obedience to it, didn't it? In obedience to what? A church?
The Word.
Which is the life. Then you are now resurrected from the dead. You potentially have the earnest awaiting. Now, when you get the dynamics, you have been quickened from mortal to immortality. It makes the whole body come subject to the Word. It'll make you act different, look different, live different. It'll just make you different. Then notice, it's just like a little seed laying here in the ground. Now, potentially, you are resurrected. You're resurrected when you receive the Holy Spirit in you. You're resurrected right then. Your body potentially is resurrected.
Right.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord. This has been a hard and cutting sermon, and yet, Father, we know that it's true. And we know that, Father, there is a clash going on. There's a separation. It's just the devil trying to do these things. It's the devil that tried to tell us that the works that Jesus did, we're not capable of doing. So that we can just be unvictorious in our life and go to the doctors and get pills and this and that. It's the devil that would tell us that the preacher should all sit down and just put on a tape. It's the devil that does those things. But Father, we know that as sons and daughters of God, we're conforming to the image of the firstborn Son. We'll do what he did. We'll act like he did. We'll talk like he did. We'll preach like he did. And we'll be persecuted like he was. But that's okay, Father, because all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You didn't say all that have the doctrine right shall suffer persecution. You said all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so, Lord, we We accept our persecution gladly, knowing that it's molding into us the very character of Christ by the suffering that we go through. And Father, if we suffer for our own sake, as Peter said, well, what good does it do us? It does some good, because it actually helps us maybe to learn by example. But Father, if we suffer for Thee, we know we have a great reward. So Lord, we just pray that You'd help us to die to self. That's the main thing. And may Your life, Father, reflect itself through our vessels. May we, as Brother Rath said, here is the great thing. He said, the bride has the word of God, and she has thus saith the Lord, but she'll keep still until You tell us what to speak. And so, Father, we know that there's coming a squeeze. It may come this fall. We don't know. But we're looking for it to come. We know there's going to be a tightening. We know that the tightening will come first economically, then the council of churches will begin to gain in power. And then, Father, when that does, we know the third pole will be released into Your bride, a manifestation of it. We know the third pole is already in Your bride. We see miracles, Father, that only You could do, but coming forth from prayer and from the laying on of hands, and not only that, but Father, from the speaking of the word. And we're seeing it all over the world. We're seeing, Lord, You're bringing forth healing. And now, Father, we pray for that little sister over there in Norway. She's 22 years old. I think her name was Damaris or something like that. And Father, I just pray for her with a little two-month-old baby. We know, Father, that You are the author and finisher of our faith. And we're just asking You, Father, that You would just heal her of her lung cancer, and that You would bring forth, Father, a cleansing and a clearing. And, Lord, that You would bring forth her healing in her body, but, Father, we also pray that You would fill her with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make His face shine upon thee.